Okay, Degel Machane Ephraim for Parshas Nitzavim. Tavshin Ayin Tes is the last year of Tavshin Ayin Tes. Mir Tashem will pick up Tavshin Pei. Okay, the first piece in Parshas Nitzavim. Atem Nitzavim. Of course, the Parsha begins. Atem Nitzavim Hayom, you're standing here today. And it describes how all of the Jewish people are gathered. Echote Veitzecha, Atshoi Memecha, all types of Jews. Young and old, men, women, children, different professions. Everyone's gathered together. Hayom, of course, is a code word for Rosh Hashanah. So Atem Nitzavim Hayom. Chazal say in the Zohar that Hayom is always a remez to Rosh Hashanah. But he tells us Atem, whenever you see the word Atem, whenever you see those three letters, you should think Emes. Atem is the same letters as Emes. Says the Degel Machane Ephraim, Yishloma remez al derech the Isa b'Zohar kadosh. The Zohar says that shikra lo ka'e, kushta ka'e, falsehood, shikra, sheker. Falsehood does not stand. Kushta, truth, ka'e, stands. It's also a Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Dalet. And you see it even in the letters, Chazal say, that the letters shin and kuf and resh look like they're going to fall over, as opposed to aleph is a very balanced looking letter, mem is has a nice foundation. Tuf also stands on two legs. The letter shin has a point, looks like it could topple over. The kuf also has that leg that's hanging down low, it can pull the whole thing down. The resh also is top heavy, it's going to fall over. So sheker doesn't stand. Ein la raglayim. Sheker has no feet. Emes stands. Chazal further say that emes, aleph, mem, tuf, is the balance of the Hebrew alphabet. A letter from the beginning, a letter from the middle, a letter from the end. So it's a very balanced word. Ulakach Yaakov avinu lo meis. And therefore, the Gemara tells us in Tanis that Yaakov never died. Meis, obviously, is what happens, right? When your MS falls apart. When the Aleph separates from MS, what are you left with? Meis. But what do we know about Yaakov avinu? The Jewish people are forever. Yaakov is forever. That's what it means, Yaakov avinu lo meis. Because titein MS li Yaakov. Yaakov avinu's whole midah is MS. So therefore, Shahaya Midas Emes, Yaakov who was Emes, therefore Shu Tamir Kaim La'olam. Therefore, in a certain sense, Yaakov lives forever. Of course, the end of that Gemara in Tanis is, but Yaakov died, yes, but his children live on. So what does that mean, Yaakov never died? But when we realize that we are Mamish, the Hamshacha of Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov is the personality of the three Avos, represents Torah, Torah is Emes. Hope to speak a lot more about this topic tonight. If anyone's around, Tinek, 8:15 tonight, 8:15 to 9 at Bnei Yeshurun. Talk about Emes. These are days of Emes. So Yaakov Avinu is an Ish Emes, and therefore Yaakov Avinu lo meis. And therefore, Vahu Shemiramez Atem Nitzavim Hayom. Atem is the letters Emes. Nitzavim means what? Standing. So Atem, when you're Emesthik, Nitzavim, you have Kiyum, you're standing. Shukayim Laolam. Again, it's very fitting. There's a lot to say about this. I can't go into it right now. But there's no question that the days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are days where we're seeking emes. We're mevakshim emes. We want to be true to Hashem. We want to be true to Torah. We want to be true to ourselves. We want to be true to other people who maybe we've harmed over the course of the year. These are days of emes. And if a person is emestic, then koi, then he lasts. Then he has standing power. And he's able to exist. Okay? Point number one. Point number two, second piece. Atem nitzavim ayom, the pasuk says, you're standing here today. Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, Rosheichem, So here's how the pasuk actually reads. Pasuk says, Atem nitzavim ayom, you're standing today. Kulchem, all of you. Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, before Hashem, your God. Kama, right? Asnachta, pause. And the pasuk says, Rasheichem, Shivteichem, Ziknechem, Shotreichem, right? The heads of the tribes, the elders, the officers, Kol Yish Yisrael, everyone is standing here today. And it goes on, listing categories of Jews. Says our Rebbe, the Degel Machane Ephraim, especially after a week of learning about the words Lifnei Hashem in the Or Gedaliah, right? Lifnei Hashem Vayamusu, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. How could you not, the parsha that the Shabbos that leads us into Rosh Hashanah. How could you not notice in the first words of the Pasuk, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lifnei Hashem? Those words have to jump out at you. Says the Degel Machane Ephraim, Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, Rasheichem, dot, Yesh Lefarish, Al Derech De'isa. Kishishalu Yisrael B'yamei Shmuel, Tino Lanu Melech. One of the most complicated sugyas in Navi is when the Jewish people said, we want a king. The Torah has in Parsha Shoftim, the rules of kings. It seems that having a Jewish king is certainly acceptable. Maybe it's a goal in and of itself. And yet Klal Yisrael got into a very complicated, you know, fight with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, when we asked for a king. Shmuel was insulted. And Hashem said, Shmuel, don't be insulted. I'm the one who should be insulted. I'm the ultimate king. Jewish people asked for a king. Va'amar lahem, du'u u'ru'u ki ra'aschem rabba asher sha'altem lachem melech. Ki Hashem elokeichem malkechem. And Shmuel says to them, it's chutzpahdik, what are you doing? It's a terrible thing to ask for a king. Hashem is your king. Yeah, but we want a king k'chol ha'goyim. They're making it worse. You're saying you want to be like the goyim, have a king of flesh and blood? It's a complicated sugya. The Indian of a melech, Basar V'dam, is a complicated sugya. So Shmuel gave them Musar. Why would you choose a king of flesh and blood? Let Hashem be your king. Says the Degel Machane Ephraim, that's hinted to in the opening pasuk of our parsha. Again, there's no question, these are all Rosh Hashanah Torahs that he's saying. V'zeu shemaram izkan atem nitzavim lifnei Hashem. When a Jew is nitzavim lifnei Hashem, when I see myself as standing before Hashem, when I have a close relationship with the Borei Olam, so then what? Then I don't need a king of flesh and blood. If Hashem is this hazy, abstract idea, if God is some, you know, strange idea that's hard for me to wrap my head around, even if I believe in such a God, so I want a physical representation. I want to feel it. It's hard for me to feel the intensity of being in front of Hashem. So let me come before a real king, a king of flesh and blood, a king I can see, I can touch, I can hear, and then I'll be able to appreciate the Melech, the king, the capital, you know, the. But if I'm connected to Hashem in a deep way, if I'm Omid Lefnei Melech Malchei Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't need a king of flesh and blood. It's an insult to Hashem. So says the Pasuk, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Lefnei Hashem. If you're standing, if you see yourself, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, if you're standing before Hashem, Hainu. Kishitis nahagu be'emes uvetamim lifnei Hashem. Again, atem is osios emes. If I'm emestic, if I'm sincere in my relationship with Hashem, then what? How does he read the pasuk? Where does he put the comma? However, again, the pasuk pshat in the pasuk is atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Hashem elokeichem. Comma. All of you are standing here today before God. And then it gives a list. Rasheichem, Shifteichem, Shotreichem, Ziknechem. It gives a whole list. But he's putting the comma after which word? Rasheichem. Atem nitzavim hayom lifnei Hashem. If you see yourself standing lifnei Hashem, then what? Then Elokeichem, Rasheichem. No, you hear the part? Then Elokeichem, Rasheichem means what? Then Hashem is Rasheichem. You don't need another Rosh. You don't need another leader. You don't need a king of flesh and blood. If you act be'emes uvetam lifnei Hashem, if you're truly before Hashem, then oz tizku elokeichem rasheichem. Then God will be your head. God will be your leader. Hashem will be the king that you feel in the presence of. Hainu shalot itztarchu l'shom melech. You don't need a king, a human king. Ki elokeichem yihyeh rasheichem u'malkechem. Then God will become your melech. Then God will become your rosh. And this too, again, is easy to understand. We know this to be true. When I feel connected to Hashem, I feel the intensity, the relationship, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And God forbid, when I don't have that, I look to supplement with other things. And even wanting to have a king of flesh and blood, which one could argue has great value, it's chaval. Why isn't Elokeichem Rasheichem? Why is Hashem not your king? Why do you need another king to take Hashem's place? It must be because you're lacking in Atem, Emes, you're not Emestic, and you're not really Lifnei Hashem. If you were really Lifnei Hashem, you wouldn't want anyone else to be your Rosh, to be your leader. Elokeichem Rasheichem. God would be your leader. Okay, point number two. Let's turn to the Haftorah for Netzavim now. Turn a couple of pages, or maybe a page. Okay, the Haftorah comes from the Navi Yeshaya. Sos asis v'Hashem tagel nafshi belokai. Sos asis v'Hashem. Sos asis. What does sos mean? Sason v'simcha. Sos asis means what? Rejoice. Sos asis v'Hashem. Right? I will rejoice with Hashem. Tagel nafshi belokai. What's tagel? Gila, rina, ditza. What's right, celebrate. I'll celebrate, I'll rejoice. I'll be happy to be part of Hashem's world. Yeah, here's the full pasuk. Sos asis v'Hashem tagel nafshi belokai. Sos asis v'Hashem, I will rejoice. Sos asis is a double lashon. Sos asis, I'll rejoice very intensely. I'll greatly rejoice with Hashem. Tagel nafshi belokai. My soul will be celebratory. Right? Archul says, my soul will exult with my God. Hilbishani bigde yesha mi'il tzedaka ye'atani. He has dressed me in the clothing of salvation, bigde yesha, and mi'il tzedaka in a robe of tzedaka, not charity, but righteousness, in a robe of righteousness, ye'atani. He has girded me, he has wrapped me, like a talis. I'm wrapped in a talis of kindness and righteousness, meaning I feel close to Hashem, and I'm surrounded, I'm enveloped by God. Degamachan Ephraim is a beautiful, beautiful pshat in this. So sasis b'Hashem tagel nafshi belokai. Again, it's similar to what we were just saying. If you're lifnei Hashem, if you're really lifnei Hashem, then elokeichem rasheichem. Then Hashem will play all the roles for you. Levayer zeh, to explain this, nira alpi de'isa b'gemara. The Gemara says, one of the most awesome things about tshuva is that tshuva could turn averos into mitzvos. Kisha osa tshuva me'ava, when a person does tshuva, so is osis, when a person rejoices in tshuva. When a person does tshuva me'ava, zidonos nasulo kizuchuyos. His averos become merits. His sins become merits for him, mitzvos. V'hamashal b'zehu kamo zra'im shenizra'u bakarka. And a parable for this could be like a seed that's planted in the ground. Kishen yirkovin azay motzei tzumachim. Interesting. The Maharal talks about this, or Pinchas Koritzer talks about this. Usually it's spoken about in the context of when bad things happen, don't worry, good things will sprout from it. When the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, don't worry, the collapse of Bayis Sheni paves the way for Bayis Shlishi. Out of darkness comes light. As the Zohar says, there is no light, leis nahora alahu denafik migol chashoicha. All real light comes from darkness. A seed has to decompose in order to grow. There's a lot of Torah about that. But did you ever think of tshuva like that? Breaking yourself down in order to grow? It's a very interesting... A seed is placed in the ground, and when it rots... Now here the rot is negative. Here the rotting is the breaking... When one breaks oneself down, when you hear the shvarim and trua, which are both expressions of breaking, and you're a little broken, that's when the new plant starts to sprout. Azay motzi tzmachin, then vegetation can sprout. V'chein ha'inyan kan ba'osa tshuva me'ava. When a Jew does tshuva, new things begin to sprout. Mitzvos sprout from a place where there was once an avera. V'zehu sos asis ba'Hashem. This is what the Navi is telling us. Rejoice, celebrate ba'Hashem. Don't just do tshuva out of fear, do tshuva out of love. Peirish sha'osa tshuva me'ava. Vizel asis, let it be what? Celebratory. Cling to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Asis. Asis is Gematria Torah. 611. Tagel nafshi belokai. Tagel nafshi belokai. Right? My soul should be exalted be elokai. Because again, if I'm doing tshuva out of ahava, see, when you do tshuva out of yira, you're a little bit. Because I'm only doing tshuva because I'm scared of you, so I'm still, yira, again, yira always causes a person to withdraw. Yira causes one to retreat. We mentioned yesterday, shuckling. When a person shuckles, it's ava and it's ira. It's drawing close and pulling away. So by definition, tshuva meyira is a little bit standoffish. I don't want to get too close to you. I'm a little bit scared of you. I have to just kind of negotiate with you. Tshuva me'ava means I want to jump into your arms. I want to cling to you. In the 613 mitzvos, I told you sometimes even where a particular mitzvah falls out, tells you something about the essence of that mitzvah. The Zohar says that every mitzvah, the whole Torah, all 613 mitzvos, are really to achieve a singular goal of what? Of clinging to Hashem. Dveikus b'Hashem. Which of the 613 mitzvos is the mitzvah of Dveikus b'Hashem? Mitzvah 613, the last mitzvah, is the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. Where's the mitzvah of clinging to Hashem? Mitzvah 21 is Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Mitzvah 33 is honor your parents. Which mitzvah is the mitzvah of clinging to Hashem? It's 611. Why is it 611? 611 is about your Torah, because it's the essence of Kol HaTorah Kula. Right? It's the essence of the entirety of the Torah. And in the context of what we're learning now, Asis, the word Asis, is also about your 611. Because when you love Hashem, you're not like a little bit, distant. Yira causes distance. Ava, that's what he's saying. When you do tshuva me'ava, what? You jump into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's arms. Tagel nafshi belokai. I have a very close relationship with Hashem. And that's why he says, shenase elokai sheli. So sasis b'Hashem. If I do tshuva with love, then Hashem becomes elokai, my God. He's not just God. He's my God. It's a personal relationship. It's dveikus, it's attachment, it's love, it's connectivity. Shehi al yidei ava, that's formed through ava. Ava makes people want to be close to each other. And that's the pshat in the pasuk, he says. So beautifully, this is the pshat in the pasuk in Hosea. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. What's the pasuk pshat? Shuva Yisrael, Jewish people should return to God. But the way he's learning it is, no, Shuva Yisrael, you know when you could say you've returned enough? When Hashem is Elokecha. When you feel that Hashem is your God. Not just someone else's God. Not just God in general. Shuva Yisrael, Jewish people, keep returning ad up to the point and including the point that what? Hashem Elokecha. That Hashem becomes your God. Perisha Yase Elokai Shalcha. The way it was supposed to be when we stood at Har Sinai. Anochi Hashem. What's the next word? Anochi Hashem. Elokecha, in the singular. Not Elokechem. Not the collective God. Elokecha, Elokai, my God. They say it's one of the most amazing lines of our tefillah. Adon Olam Asher Melech B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. I begin by describing how powerful Hashem is, how great Hashem is, how big Hashem is, how much Hashem doesn't need me, because Hashem was king of the world before I even existed. And then what do we say? Rav Shimon Schwab brings us in a sefer on tefillah. Then what do we say? V'hu? V'hu Eli. V'hu Keli. He's my God. V'chai Goali. So personal. You just described the God that's so big, and then we have the courage to say, Afal Pichin, he seems so big, so much bigger than me, but he's my God. He's Elokai. He's Elokecha in the singular. He's your God. So that's what it means. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Keep doing tshuva until Hashem is Elokecha, until you feel that Hashem is your personal God, that you feel close to Hashem. That means you've attained tshuva me'ava, and that turns averos into mitzvos. As I told you the other day, the word mitzvah itself also means companionship, attachment, clinging, connectivity. V'zeh yidei ava. V'zeh ha-gemara, and that's what the gemara means, gedola tshuva shemagas ad kisei ha-kavod. Greatest tshuva that it reaches all the way to the Kisei HaKavod, Perish. Shabal tshuva ba'atzma magia ad b'chinas Kisei HaKavod. What does it mean tshuva reaches to the Kisei HaKavod? Tshuva reaches the throne of Hashem. However, what's the goal of life? The goal of life is va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socha. Hashem says, I want to dwell not just amongst you, I want to dwell within you. I want to be mamish v'shachanti b'socham. I want to dwell inside of you. I want to be mamish connected to you. The tzaddikim are called a merkava l'shchina. What's a merkava? A chariot. A chariot to the shchina means that Hashem is, so to speak, riding around on my back. Yeah? I transport the shchina through this world. I'm a merkava l'shchina. I'm the vehicle that the king drives in, that the king travels in. That's a very chashuv thing. That Hashem is choosing me to be his kli, his vehicle, to have a presence in this world. When Hashem is not driving around, where is Hashem? These are all mashalim, obviously. Where is Hashem? When he's just sitting around, where does he sit? Kisei HaKavod. So, chevra, what's the pshat, greatest tshuva, that it reaches to the Kisei HaKavod? You become the Kisei HaKavod. Tshuva is so great that it makes you into the Kisei HaKavod. You become a kli for Kvod Shemayim. Hashem rests his presence upon you. Perish about tshuva ba'atzma giyo ad bechinas Kisei HaKavod. You become the Kisei HaKavod. V'nasa merkava l'kut shebrichu. And you become a chariot for the divine. V'nasa elokav. And that's chashev. That is chashev. That means you're riding shotgun with the Borei Olam. That's a chashev thing. Yes. Oh. Are you mechaveh into this chiddush or you cheated? Next line. And this is what it means. No, maybe you're Gilgal Degamachan Ephraim. Who knows? It's mamish the next line. And this is exactly the meaning. Very good, Mordechai. This is exactly the meaning of the Gemara that says the place that the Baal Tshuva stands, Ein Tzadikim Gemorim Yecholim Lamod. A complete tzaddik can't stand in that place. What does it mean? What does it mean? No, how do you want to explain it? He just gives us the Maamar Chazal. How did you understand it? Right. The tzaddik may be like the limo driver, right? Which is a chashuv job, but it's not, you know, when the king travels in his chashuv caravan, that's very chashuv, but it's not the throne. The Baal Tshuva becomes the throne. The Baal Tshuva mamish becomes the throne. V'zeu perish, and this is a pshat in the pasuk, one of the most important pasukim in Chumash. I know it's a silly thing to say, but the Rebbe Reb Zusha said that tshuva, tuf, shin, vav, Beis, hey, Teshuvah, stands, those five letters stand for five concepts or five psukim. The Tuf of Tshuva stands for Tamim, Tia, and Hashem Elokecha. That's what the Tuf of Tshuva is. Tmimus, wholesomeness and simplicity and honesty is one of the keys to Tshuva. It's the first letter of Tshuva, the Rebbe of Zusha said. The Tuf of Tshuva stands for Tmimus, Tamim, Tia, and Hashem Elokecha. So says the Degel Machane Ephraim, Tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha means the following. Hainu. Tamim tia kishetia im Hashem Elokecha. Tamim tia, you will be tamim. Right? Again, the Pashup Shat. Tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha, you should be what? Wholesome with God. Meaning, don't question Hashem. Accept Hashem with simplicity. That's the Pashup Shat. Tamim tia, be wholesome with the Lord. Tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha. But the Degel Machane Ephraim is saying, no. Tamim tia, you know when you'll be tamim, when you'll be complete? You know when you'll really be living the way a Jew is supposed to live? Tamim tia, you want to be whole? Im Hashem Elokecha. You have to be with Hashem. Tshuva Meyira still keeps a little buffer zone between you and God. Tshuva Me'ava makes you into the throne, makes you into the chariot, gives you a place that the tzaddikim can't even stand. Tshuva Me'ava brings you as close as you can be. Im Hashem Elokecha. Mamish with Hashem. No space between. Mamish connected. Shehi Tshuva Me'ava. When you're Tia, Im Hashem Elokecha, that's Tshuva Me'ava, and that's Togel Nafshi Belokai. Celebrate the personal relationship you have with Hashem. Chever, what was the end of the Pasuk? I read you the whole Pasuk in Yeshaya. The Pasuk said, Ki Hil Bishani Bigde Yesha, because Hashem has clothed me in the clothing of salvation, and Hashem has wrapped me in a me'il tzedakah, right? In a cloak of righteousness. What does that mean? So says the Degel Machane Ephraim, I'll tell you what it means. V'amar ki hilbishani bigdei yesha perush. Hashem has hilbishani, has dressed me in bigdei yesha, in clothing of salvation. Take this vart with you into the vidoy of slichos of Yom Kippur. Bigdei yesha osham nu bagadnu. Bagadnu. What does bagadnu mean? Ashamnu, we are guilty. Bagadnu, we wore clothing. What's bagadnu? We betrayed you. Begida is a betrayal. The very reason that clothing are called begadim is because we only had to wear clothing because we betrayed Hashem and Gan Eden. That's the origin of clothing. Which is why a person shouldn't be too busy with their clothing. It should look nice. It should look menschlich. But a person who's too concerned about their clothing, one of the tzaddikim of Vizhnitz said, it's like a person who's, you know, who's in jail and is wearing, you know, the clothing of a prisoner, right? But is like very, you know, concerned that his prison clothing should look, you know, a particular, like, don't you understand? The reason they gave you these garments are to remind you that you're a criminal. So all clothing is a reminder of our criminality. So if you start to try to, like, you know, make it like something that you're so proud of, you're showing off the fact that you're a criminal. You're highlighting the fact that you're a criminal. That Adam Rishon rebelled against the Kadosh Baruch. So what is Hilbishani Bigdei Yesha? Says the Degel Machane Ephraim, Perish Devarim, Shabagadta Bahem, Nasa Mehem Yesha. With Tshuva Me'ava, you take the Bigdei, you take the Begadim, you take the Bagadnu, and you turn it into Yesha, you turn it into salvation. You turn Averos into Mitzvos. You got to do the first part of the Pasuk. Sos Asis Ba'Hashem. V'tagel nafshi belokai, if you're mamish on fire, to be close to Hashem. Tshuva me'ava, I want to be as close to you as I can be, Hashem. And I intensely serve you with joy. So is asis, tshuva me'ava. Then what happens? Then big day, yesha. Then my bagadnu, my begida, my rebelliousness, becomes yesha, becomes salvation. Shenasa lo zechuyos. What's the next part? The last part of the pasuk? U'me'il tzedaka ye'atani. What's me'il? It's a garment also, but there's also a mesechta in Sha'as called Me'ila. Right? Ma'ol, person who is Ma'ol Ba'Hashem. Ma'ol Ba'Hashem means what? Yeah, you misappropriate something that's holy. You take something that's designated as a carbon and you make it into hamburgers. Or use it as a work animal. You can't do that. It's called Me'ila. You're stealing from the Beis HaMikdash. You're stealing from God. Different types, different categories of Mi'ila. Kachim is Be'ach, Kachim is. But the misuse of something is called Mi'ila. So Hashem gave you strength, Hashem gave you ability, Hashem gave you life, and we misused it. No, it's a tragedy, we need to do tshuva. What happens when we do tshuva me'ava? U'mi'il dvarim shema'alta behen, you take your Mi'ila, and what do you do with it? Tzedaka yatani, you turn it into what? Into righteousness. So this is the awesome power of Tshuva Me'ava. It transforms everything. It turns your begadim into yesha. It turns your me'ila into tzedakah. V'im tomar heich efshar zeh shemeaveros nasek kishuyos. And if you'll ask, but how could such a thing be? I mean, the Gemara says it. But it's such a lofty thing that an aveira could become a mitzvah? How could a beautiful mitzvah sprout from an aveira? Ah, that's the magic word, sprout. Concludes the pasuk. It's actually the next pasuk, kigano zeru'eha tatzmiach, like the seeds of a garden that are sprouting. That's exactly what's happening here. The same way a seed needs to decompose to the point where it's almost lifeless before, just at that moment, it becomes alive. Again, often this mashal is used in the context of Chorban. This mashal is used to explain why we have to go to the 49th level of Tumah in Mitzrayim before Klal Yisrael could be born. But it's also a mashal for tshuva. Right? If you've planted some bad seeds, so to speak, yeah, the seed has to decompose. You have to break it down. You have to break down the choices that you made this past year. And when you break it down, then something new can sprout, something beautiful and holy can sprout in its place. Shehi al yedei hazria shenirkav bakarka. When the seed rots in the ground, umotzia peiros, and then it produces fruit, kein adavar azeh, shal yedei achataim nasim zuchuyos. And understand this well, how an avera could become a mitzvah. What a beautiful piece, no? What do you say? Chaim Zalta, what do you say? It's a good piece. You like the Sefer. Good. I do too. Okay, Chaver, let's keep going. Let's see a little Rosh Hashanah. Let's start with the first piece on Rosh Hashanah. Ashrei ha'am yodei trua Hashem b'or panecha yaleichon. A pasuk in Tehillim that we recite before Tekiyah Shofar. Chaver, Sunday night is Rosh Hashanah. I know it's hard to imagine, but Higiyah Zman. We should start waking ourselves up if we didn't wake up yet. Okay, let's see if we can see one or two pieces here. Ashrei ha'am yodei trua Hashem b'or panecha yaleichon. Levair ze nira al derech tzoma nafshi leilukim lekel chai masai avo ve'eira'e p'nei elukim. It says in Tehillim, tzoma nafshi leilukim. One of my favorite psukim. Tzoma nafshi, my soul is thirsting for godliness. Lekel chai, for the living God. Again, for a relationship that's alive. Masai avo ve'eira'e p'nei elukim. When will I be zochet to see the p'nei elukim? The face of God. I want to have that face-to-face encounter like Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a very classic Baal Shem Tov Dikka type of piece. You hear the Baal Shem Tov in this piece, even though he doesn't quote him in this piece. But you hear his grandfather, Mamashi Yisod in Torah's Baal Shem. Dine b'chol hadvarim kmo achila ushasiya umasu matan v'kedom. In all things that a person engages in, eating, drinking, business, yesh bo davar hamechaye osa. Those are physical activities. What gives them their chiyus? The same way my body, my physical body, needs a soul, it needs a breath of life in it, so too every physical thing or activity also requires a spiritual life force. So food and drink and business, it all needs something spiritual to sustain it. Yesh bo davar ha-mechay oso, and there is something which is mechay, which gives life to it. And that's what it means. Tzoma nafshi leilokim lekel chai. He says, Tzoma nafshi, my soul is thirsting, that Elokim should become kel chai. What is Elokim? He says, it's well known, know it from Kabbalistic sources, Hasidus Shesvarim, that Elokim is gematria hateva. As opposed to the name Yudke Vavke, which is Hashem's name, that we're most familiar with, Elokim is Hashem's name of the natural order. Paro knew about Elokim, but he didn't know Hashem. I don't know this Hashem that you talk about. Yeah?
Do we also have a concept of Shakai?
Yeah, also.
So what's the... I know it's not
for now. Okay. There are similarities between Shakai and Elokim. They both are a little bit more Midas Adin, and they're both a little bit more straddling, you know, Hashem within Teva, within Olam Hazeh. It's a good point. So Tzoma Nafshi Leilokim, right? When I encounter Elokim, Gematria 86, Hateva Gematria 86. When I encounter the natural world, when I eat my breakfast, when I drink my chocolate milk, Lamashal, right? When I eat my Dunkin' Donuts, when I'm crunching numbers in my office, when I'm involved in Hateva, just regular stuff, my soul... My body's like, fine, my body's sitting at the computer, you know, doing its thing, knocking out another paper, you know, for English class or whatever. But Tzoma Nafshi Leilokim, my soul is thirsting that Elokim, that this thing, which is so mundane, should be what? Kel Chai. Should have and should express the living God. My soul wants that Elokim, that the natural things I'm involved in, Ateva, should be Lekel Chai. Iker Ta'avaso Hi, the soul wants that spark, that nitzutz, that holy spark that's somewhere within that activity. Most of the activity superficially looks very mundane, but there's always a holy spark that gives life to everything. It's a story I told you about one of the tzaddikim of Karlin with the chassid who said, Rebbe, I eat an apple, you eat an apple. Right? And the Rebbe said to him, right, you make a bracha because you want to eat the apple. Right? I eat the apple because I want to extract that bracha from it. I want to say Bori Pri Eitz, and I can't do that unless I have an apple. Right? So I'm interested in the Kel Chai, I'm interested in making a bracha. I use Olam Hazeh to carry out that will. You want Olam Hazeh, and you're a frum guy, so you make a bracha. As a matir, to give you reshus to eat the apple. Okay, so the soul is craving what? The soul is craving... The type of the soul is that spark inside. Masai avo ve'ira'e p'nei Elokim. When will I see the Pnei Elokim? Pnei, he says, is Lashon of Pnimius. I want to see the Pnimius of Elokim. I want to see the Pnimius of Hateva, of the natural world. I want to extract the godliness from things that look very plain. What does it have to do with our Pasuk? What does it have to do with the Kiyas Shofar? Chaver, listen to this. V'zeu Allah Elokim b'trua. The Pasuk says again in Tehillim, this time in Perak Mem Zayin, Allah Elokim b'trua. Elokim ascends with the trua. Again, Elokim means Hashem as reflected in Teva. Perish. Kishemishaber HaTeva. What's trua? What's the sound of the trua? Right? The trua is the same sound of like, you know, a havdil, like a chef, like chopping vegetables, you know, breaking things up. Yeah? Right? It's got that chopping sound. Trua means breaking. Shvar means breaking. When I take Elokim and I, so to speak, crack it open, I want to see what's on the inside. I don't just want my whole life to be, you know, 99% mundane and like, yeah, I heard that this could be holy. No, crack it open. See what's inside. Ola Elokim b'trua. Elokim hateva, the natural order, ascends with trua. Perush, kishemeshaber hateva, when I crack open the teva, which is a levush hapnimius, which is the garb, the outer trappings of whatever that inside thing is, that inside expression, v'kavanaso rakla pnimius, and a person breaks through and says, I'm not falling for what's on the outside, I can see what's on the inside. Then my eating is different, my drinking is different, my sleeping is different, my walking is different, my business dealings are different. It's with Hashem. I bring out the pnimius of that tevadika thing. And that's what it means. Ola Elokim. How do you lift up Ola Elokim? Elokim gematria teva. Sheesh aliyah lahateva betrua. Perish kishemeshaber hateva. When I break the teva, and I look inside, and I try to see what's beneath the surface, then Ola Elokim. Then I take Elokim, 86 gematria teva, and I lift it up. I give it much greater purpose, much greater meaning. This is one of the ultimate chidushim of Chassidus. That the Pashat Yid who spends his days driving horses, you know, can be a tzaddik and can be mekusher to Hashem. Yeah, but he's not in the Beis Medrash most of the day. He can't be in the Beis Medrash most of the day. Chassidus is very realistic. He can't be. He has to make a living. He's not. Some people can sit and learn all day. A lot of people can't. So what? So that means most of their day is just, you know, disconnected from Hashem. Baal Shem Tov said Chas V'Shalom. All Elokim B'Trua. Crack it open, bring out the pnimius of it, and then you can lift up the teva. You can lift up regular things. What's the hemshech of the pasuk? Hashem b'kol shofar. Ola Elokim b'trua. Hashem b'kol shofar. What does that mean? She pnimius hateva hi Hashem havaya baruchu shehi lamala miderach hateva. Right? If you crack it open, then what? Then Hashem emerges. From that Elokim. Ola Elokim b'trua. When you lift up the Elokim, then Hashem is there. B'kol shofar. Which part of the shofar is the kol? The part that you can't see. You have the actual shofar. You have the physical object of the shofar. But then there's this invisible voice that it makes. It's the hidden part. It's the inside of the shofar. When the Baal Tokeya blows a breath of air through it, right? And all of a sudden the sound comes out of it. Right, well, where is the sound? Can you hold the sound in your hand? It's the pnimius of the shofar. So Hashem, Yudke Vavke, emerges with the kol shofar. L'mala miderach hateva. And he says, V'zehu Hashem b'kol shofar, l'fi shetevas shofar, b'gematria Elokim b'miluo, ki yadua b'kisvei ariza. Okay, this takes a little explaining. We spoke about miloi, right? Miloi means you spell out the letters. Spell out, so Aleph, you spell out Aleph, Lamed, Pei. The shofar, the miloi of shofar, sorry, the miloi of Elokim produces the shofar. Again, what does miloi mean as a concept? The expansion of something, right? I want to take Elokim, I want to take my little sandwich that I'm eating, and I want to expand it, I want to make it into something godly. It shouldn't just be lunch. I want to take my little cubicle in my office, where I'm sitting there like a schleppy summer intern, right? And it's mamish hateva, and I want to make it, I want to expand Elokim. I want to bring out the Elokus. The shofar is the vehicle to what? To bring out everything that's in Elokim. as is known, he says, from the Kisvei Arizal. Okay, so we don't know the Kisvei Arizal, so let's find out what this means. What does this mean? How do you find, what's the gematria of Elokim and Miloy? It's not shofar. So here's how you do it. First, let's do the Miloy of Elokim. Okay, let's go step by step. What is the Miloy of Elokim? Write out the letters Aleph, Lamed, and Hey, and Yud, and Mem. So write it down. Aleph is spelled Aleph, Lamed, Pei. Lamed is spelled Lamed, Mem, Dalid. Hey, we know there's three ways to spell Hey. Let's use the biggest one, Hey, Yud. Okay, Elokim. What's the next letter? Yud, Yud, Vav, Dal. And lastly, Mem is Mem, Mem. When you spell out Elokim, Aleph, Lamed, and Hey, and Yud, and Mem, you spell out the five letters of Elokim, is Gematria 300. That's the shin of the shofar. You got a chavra? The shin of the shofar. Shin is 300. The shin of the word shofar is Elokim spelled out. Okay? What's the pei vav of the shofar? The next two letters, vav pei, shofar. We got the shin now. What's the vav pei? How much is vav pei? 86. That's Elokim regular. Elokim spelled regular is 86. That's the vav pei of the shofar. Yes, we got the shin of the shofar. Is Elokim spelled out? We take the regular Elokim. We're taking all the dimensions of Elokim because we're trying to expand it. We're trying to bring out everything that it has to offer in order to find the pnimius of it. Yeah, so the shin is Elokim spelled out. The pei vav is Elokim regular. What's the resh of the shofar? So there's something we said that's called ribua, where you do aleph plus aleph lamed plus Aleph, Lamed, and Hey, plus each time adding a letter, Aleph, Lamed, Hey, and Yud, Aleph, Lamed, Hey, and Yud, and Mem, is Gematria 200, is Resh. So when we take the Elokim, right, and we really shake it up, we look at it from all different dimensions, we look at it regular, we look at it expanded, and we look at it building off of itself, we take all the dimensions of Elokim, it says in the Kisvei Arizal, in the Pri Etz Chaim, and in the Shaar Kavanos, for the Drushim for Rosh Hashanah, it says there that this is, according to the Arizal, how Elokim produces the shofar. So you have 300, and you have 200, you have 86, these three dimensions of Elokim, and that's Gematria 586 is Gematria shofar. No, so very nice. Soma nafshi l'Elokim l'kel chai, Masai avo ve'eira p'nei Elokim. I want to get to the inner essence of Elokim, and I want all the Elokim b'truva. I want to lift up Elokim by truva, by cracking it open. Hashem b'kol shofar. I want to bring out the pnimius of the kol shofar. So now let's go back to the pasuk we started with. Ashrei ha'am yodei trua, Hashem b'or panecha ya'alecha. He says this is the pshat. Ashrei ha'am, praiseworthy are the people who are yodei trua, who know how to crack things open. Praiseworthy are those who know how to crack things open. Debating if I should say something. Fine, I'm not going to say it now. Ashrei am yodei trua, sheyodim l'shaber hateva me'alavushim, those who know how to break naturalness, physicality out of its garb, out of its clothing, out of its outer trappings. And then, if you do that, chevet, this is the kavana. When you say this pasuk before tekiyas shofar on Monday, think about this. Ashrei am yodei trua, praiseworthy are those people who know how to break things open, who get down to the pnimius of things. What's the end of the pasuk? Be'or panecha yaleichud. Then you get to have a face-to-face encounter with Hashem. When you're sitting at your desk with your Nebuch summer internship that I'm not even paying you for. This guy's a partner for 15 years already. He can't give you 10 bucks an hour. He's bossing you around. Bal gaiva. No? Come on! No, but don't worry. You don't have to worry. Because if you're a yodei trua, if you know how to see deep beneath the surface, then bor panecha yaleichun. You're not marching to your boss's orders, you're marching to their bon shalom's orders. You're walking in the or panecha, you're in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be'or ha'pnimis shu shem avaya baruch hu. You're bringing out the shem yudkei vavkei. Shu be'or panei melechayim. And this is what it means to bask in the face, in the presence of the living God. Ve'havein. And you should understand this well. Nu, the Gemara Chaim always wants us to understand his words well. He's right, we should understand them well. All right, let's do a drop more. I know it's 10:07, but I have to do a little bit more. Go to the last piece on Rosh Hashanah. It makes sense to do this one with the one we just did. And then we'll come back. We'll see one more piece. We'll do two more pieces. No? Just that? Three more pieces. You guys aren't in a rush? Okay. So let's see. Let's do the last piece. Who remembers the story of Shimshon from Sefer Shoftim? Remember that story? Shimshon Agibor, very confusing story also. Here you have this tzaddik. When Yaakov Avinu is giving a bracha to Shevet Dan at the end of Parshas Vayechi, he sees in the future, he sees Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem, he sees the hope of redemption. Who is he seeing? He's seeing Shimshon. But when you read the Pesukim, Shimshon's a really hard tzaddik to understand. He comes to his parents, I want to marry this pretty plishti girl. What? You can't find the Jewish girl to marry? No, I want to marry this girl. And Shimshon's seems to be superficially a very conflicted individual. Obviously, there's tremendous, tremendous depth to who Shimshon really was. Rav Tzadok, Kiyadua, speaks a lot about who Shimshon Be'emes was. If you remember, when Shimshon is walking with his parents at one point, he takes a different route, and he encounters a lion, and he rips the lion in half with his bare hands, kills the lion. And later, he comes back to that same area where he killed the lion, and he sees that a beehive is growing inside of the lion. Later, when he's dealing with the plishtim, he says, I'll give you a riddle, and he offers them the following riddle. And that's what this pasuk is on the page in front of you. Right? He says to them, from that which is strong comes something sweet. Try to solve the riddle. That which is strong comes something sweet. He was referring to the beehive that was growing inside the lion. So they come back to him, and they solve the riddle. How did they solve the riddle? They didn't really solve the riddle. His wife pressured him into getting the solution, and she shared it with the plishtim, whatever that's about. And that's why he says to them, had you not plowed with my calf, you never would have solved my riddle. There's no way you could have figured this out. But they say to him, no, we can figure out the riddle. There's nothing stronger than a lion. There's nothing sweeter than honey. Right? That's the pasuk. Ma oz mehari, what is stronger than the lion? Ma matok midavash, and what's sweeter than honey? Shimshon's is a real story of someone who on the surface looks like someone who does averos. He's really moser nefesh. He literally dies by pulling down the building on his own head and killing the plishtim along with himself. Very complicated story. Definitely a Baal Tshuva type of story. Right? A person who on the surface is understood one way, but Pnimius is understood totally differently. What's the pshat? What's the pshat? A funny thing, this whole riddle with the lion and the beehive. And the plishtim solved the riddle. Obviously the story is a story. It's a historical account, says the Degel Machane Ephraim. Im kol zeh midenichta b'torah al karchach yesh bo gam kein eiza remez v'sod b'davar. You'll say, well, what do I have to look into? What do I have to look into? This is what happened. Shimshon was walking, he killed a lion, he came back later, he saw a beehive. Says the Degel Machane Ephraim, if it's written in Torah, if it's written in Tanakh, it's Kodesh Kadosh, and we have to understand it more deeply. We can explain based on what the Sifrei Musar say. The Shlach Kadosh brings this remez on the pasuk Aryeh Sha'ag Milo Yira. Famous pasuk that's quoted by Bali Musar this time of the year. When the lion roars, who is not afraid? Pasuk in Amos. The prophet Amos. Aryeh is Rashi Tevos. Elul Aleph. Reish, Rosh Hashanah, Yud, Yom Kippur, Hey, Hoshana Rabbah. When it's Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Hoshana Rabbah, these are four stages of our judgment. Mi lo yira, who's not afraid? Who doesn't take these days seriously? Okay, that's what the Shlach Kadosh brings, and other tzaddikim as well. Aryeh is Rosh Hashanah, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah. V'nei ikr hayam, mim ha-kedoshim ha-elu hu Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh, the starting point of something, contains everything that's going to come afterwards. Elul is still a Hakdama. Elul is the Hachana. Yom Kippur and Hoshana Rabbah are the finishing touches. Rosh Hashanah is the Iker. Says the Degel, Rosh Hashanah is the Iker. It's the Yom Adina Gadol Vanora. Vayomim Habayim Acharav, and the days that come after are just the finishing touch. Heim Gemar Shal Rosh Hashanah. is the conclusion of Rosh Hashanah. But the ikker moment that you're in it is Rosh Hashanah. Ki b'rosh Hashanah mascheles hamituk hadinim al yidei shofar. Because Rosh Hashanah, which is a Yom HaDin, it's a time of Mishpat, we bring out that shofar, we crack it open, so to speak, we bring out an inner voice that's nowhere to be seen, the Kol HaShofar, and through that sound, we soften the Midas HaDin. We sweeten, in more Hasidish and Kabbalistic language, we sweeten the Midas HaDin. Ki adua shofar, hainu hapar dinim, nimtakim al yedei shin vav mispar dvash. Okay, this also requires a little explanation. Don't be scared. What are the par dinim? He says the pei resh of shofar represents the par dinim. The 280 dinim. What are the 280 dinim? So the answer is, I don't really know. I know that para aduma gets rid of misa. Right? What's the par? Par dinim? What are these par dinim? It's a par. Par? Par, like don't use the horn of a par. For the shofar, par is egel, egel azav. That was bad. What's the par dinim? So, chaver, we know that Hashem, when He created the world, He used the alphabet. He used the aleph bays to create the world. There are 22 letters of the aleph bays, and then there are the 5 sofit letters. There's a chaf sofit, there's a mem sofit, there's a nun sofit, there's a fei sofit, there's a tzadi sofit. Think about it like this for a second.
Let's see if this marker behind Jared's head works. Most letters.
A better one?
Let's try. Which one's worse? Most letters, Hebrew letters, rest on the line. You can see that. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. Yep. And resting on the line, so to speak, right? Means the balance. There's somewhere in the middle. They're not super high, they're not super low. They're regular letters of creation. There's one letter that floats in the sky. That's the letter Yud. Right? The Jewish people are called the Yud. We're called Yidin because we're Lamalim and Ateva. We're like the letter Yud that floats in the sky. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dal, they all have their feet, so to speak, on the line. If I was writing a Sefer Torah, they all have something that's touching, so to speak, the ground. The letter Yud is flying in the sky. There are some letters that dip below the line, and that's not good. When you go below the surface, that's a Yerida, when you go below the line. Those were here last year, remember the Chanukah Shir, about Yavan, how Yavan takes a Yud and drags it down to a Vav, and then drags it down to a Nun. It's taking something very lofty and pulling it down to the line and then burying it in the dirt. So below the line is not good. Yeah? The Sofit letters seem to go below the line. Right? The Chaf Sofit, the Nun Sofit, Fei, Tzadi, they all have this like long leg that kind of just hangs down. Mem happens to be different. But it hints to us, it's not the only explanation of it, but it hints, I'm just bringing it as a hint, it hints to us that the Sofit letters are not so good. The end letters are not so good. We like beginnings. Ends are not good. Right? Ends imply something is limited. Hashem is limitless. Torah is limitless. The Jewish people are infinite. So Sofit letters are not good letters. Chaf Sofit, Mem Sofit, Nun Sofit, Pei Sofit, Tzadi Sofit, not so good. Yeah? A lamed, you're saying the tall lamed? The tall lamed is a chashuv letter. We have a big lamed in this week's parsha. The tall lamed is a chashuv letter. Lamed is the tallest letter. There's a good thing in a lamed, yeah. Lamed and limud. Lamed has a lot to do with Torah. So, however, let's add up the gematria of the 5 Sofit letters. Just the regular gematria. Chaf plus Mem plus Nun plus Pei plus Sadi. How much is Chaf? 20. How much is Mem? 40. So up to 60. How much is Nun? 50. So that's 110. Yeah, let's keep going. Pei is 80. So that's 190. Tzadi? Another 90 is 280. 280. So the Sofit letters represent the par dinim, the 280 dinim. So say, Moshe Tzvi, I don't know what you're talking about, so I'll say back to you, I don't know what I'm talking about either.
But if you add up the 5 feet letters, they're negative. That's how you get the 280. So the shofar is made up of pei resh, 280, but it's also made up of shin vav. Says the Degel Machaneh Ephraim, shin vav is gematria dvash, the sweetest of the sweet. And like I told you earlier in the week, dvash has this awesome transformative ability. You put something into honey, it becomes honey. So shofar takes the pei resh, it takes the dinim, whatever that means, it takes negativity, it takes bad things, and it makes them sweet. It takes the scary lion, coming back to Shimshon, and what does Shimshon find inside of the lion? Again, you always got to look inside. Got to see what's on the inside. Inside the lion is what? It's honey. In the lion is honey. So take a look. He says, shofar is the paradinim that are sweetened through the shin vav of the shofar, which is gematria dvash. Of course, the culmination of this process, in a certain sense, is Hoshana Rabbah, right? But already that's, for most people, Yom Kippur is kind of where they think it ends, for good reason. Yom Kippur hu gemar hamtaka, Yom Kippur is the end of the sweetening, and he says that's why Kippur, chaf pei vav resh, is also gematria dvash. Yom Kippur completes the sweetening. We start the Yom Tov. Amazing, think about it. With the apple being dipped into honey, we start Rosh Hashanah by sweetening. The shofar does the real ikkar, spiritual sweetening. And then Kippur's gematria dvash, is also the kapara of Yom Kippur completes the sweetening. Hoshana Rabbah hu gemar hagemar b'shleimus, ki yadua. And Hoshana Rabbah is mamish the final touch, as is known, not for now. So he says, that's the pshat in the riddle of Shimshon. Me'oz meha'ari. Is there anything stronger than the lion? And again, the beginning of the lion, of course, right, is Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah. That's the Rosh Tevos. Rosh Tevos, the beginning, this is the start. Hainu Aryeh Rosh Tevos hanizkar la'el. Hu oz v'kasheh. It's harsh. Me'oz me'ari. What's harsher than the lion? Midas adin. Scary stuff. Yom and dedinin. Aval ma matok midvash. But Hashem, in His infinite mercy, gave us honey. Not just dipping apple in the honey. He gave us a shofar, which is made up of shinva, of gematria, honey, dvash, and pei resh, the midas adin. And the honey, of course, comes to what? Look how the shinvav comes before the pei resh, overpowering the pei resh. The honey softens the midas adin. Hainu sheyesh hamtaka l'chol hadinim al yidei dvash. Mispar shinvav meshofar. V'gam kippur, yom kippur. Kippur is gematria dvash. Shebo nimtakim kol hadinim b'sharshan. This softens and sweetens all of midas adin at its root. V'nasim kulo chesed v'emes v'chupar ha'avon v'haven. And it comes to remove all of the midas adin. Okay, so think about it. What's going on with this shofar? There's amazing things that are happening when you take that shofar in your hand. Okay, you want to do one more or should we stop? Anyone who needs a break can take a break. Do we have a couple people who want to do one more? Do one more? It's good. I'll make it worth your while. We'll do one more. Last one. This is it, because we're B'nai Yeshiva. The main thing that we do together is that we learn Torah together. So we have to learn this piece together. Because this will tell us about the relationship between Torah and Averos and Tshuva. Okay? Let's do the piece. The first piece starts, Ashrei Am Yodei Trua. The second piece is, O Ye Amer, Ashrei Adam Yodei Trua. The third piece is again, O Ye Amer, Ashrei Am Yodei Trua. The fourth piece is also, O Ye Amer, Ashrei Am Yodei Trua. So let's do the fourth piece. Okay? The one that starts with the words, Vahakushya Yadua. You see it? Left-hand column on page Shin Lamed. Again, the pasuk we quoted before: Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Trua, Hashem Ba'or Panecha Yahalechun. Va'kushya Yadua. Again, we sort of know the answer already. We saw one answer, sort of. But the question he says is obvious: The Hayaroi Lomar Tokei Trua. What does it mean to be someone who knows the Trua? Imagine the Jew says, "I'm not coming to Shul on Rosh Hashanah." Why not? I know the sound of the shofar. That's nice. You have to blow it. You have to hear it. Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Trua? What does that mean? Praiseworthy are those who know the Trua. Praiseworthy are those who take a shofar and blow the thing. Tokei Trua. Maybe we can understand if we quote another pasuk, that which it says, Ashrei Ish Sheyishma L'mitzvasecha V'soyirascha U'dvarcha Yasim Alibo. We say every day before Shemona Esrei and Shacharis, Ezra Savoseinu, we say, praiseworthy is the person who listens to your mitzvos And the Torah and your words, he places al libo, on his heart. Nu, what's the question? Why place it on your heart? Why not place it in your heart? Gam kan kosher. The same question bothers me. Yoser hayanachan lomar yasim bilibo. Put it in your heart. El libo. Take it to heart. What does al libo, on your heart, mean? V'yuvan al pi de'isa b'medrash. Perhaps we can explain based on the following medrash. The medrash says in Bereishis Rabbah, tzadikim libam masur biyadam. A tzadik has his heart in his hands. He has a grasp on his heart. What does that mean? Rishayim hei misurim b'libam. And the rasha is what? Is given over to his heart. The rasha is not in control of his heart. The tzadik has his hand on his heart. He grasps his heart, so to speak. He's in control of his heart. The Rasha's heart is just all over the place. Va'perishu ki adua shahalev chomed kol hataivos gufanios shabaolam. The heart which can be so important in avodas Hashem, but if it's not controlled, it can get you into the most trouble, because the heart is understood here as the emotional center of a person. Taivas and drives and urges, it's all from the heart. The heart desires all the taivos, physical desires of the world. Like it says in the Yerushalmi, in Maseches Brachos, liba ve'ena, the heart and the eyes, heim train sarsure decheta. These are the two messengers of sin. These are the two channels to sin. These are the things that lead to sin. Your eyes, if you see it, you're going to want it. If you want it in your heart, you're going to act on it. You got to protect your eyes and protect your emotions. Umishu tzadik mesim alibo godel or hatorah kedosha. So a tzadik says, how do I learn to control my emotions? How do I direct my heart? Hashem, you made me with drive. Yeah. If I use the koach haTorah to steer myself, I'll use all that energy in a holy way. The tzadik, when he places Torah on his heart, he controls his heart in that way. V'shehu tanug tmidi she'eno nifsak li'olam. When he realizes that Torah pleasure is eternal pleasure, it never ends. It's not a fleeting pleasure. It's not a short-lived pleasure that leaves a person feeling bad afterwards. Right? But the pleasure of Torah is eternal. You experience it forever. It's nitzchias. Rak tamid holich mizgaber. It gets stronger and stronger. The love of Torah can increase. Chazal say that physical pleasures get old. You get tired of it. If you had your favorite food in the world every day, for a week straight, for a month straight, for a year straight, you'd be sick of it. Torah is the opposite, the inverse effect. Torah, the more you study it, the more you love it, the more you want it, the more you love it, the more you want it, the more you want it, the more you love it. It grows and grows and grows. Because it's real tanuk, it's real pleasure. V'al'yedeizem avato kol ha'taivos shem choshech v'tanuk shel shtus. The hevel, rak lefi shah. So Torah comes and negates the darkness and the silliness of foolish pleasure that's just lefi shah, that's just momentary. Aval or haTorah v'amitzvah utanug lechol tanugim ve'ein lo kitzva klal. But the pleasure, the light of Torah and the pleasure of mitzvos is an endless pleasure. Ein lo kitzva, it has no end. Ein kitzva, it has no limitations. V'nizhar ma'od mila'avur chas v'shalom al eiza oz sheba Torah shelo lahachshich chas v'shalom nishmaso sheyesh lo chelek b'Torah. What happens when you do an avera? Interesting image for us to think about. You darken a letter of the Torah. You make it harder to read a letter. When you learn Torah, when you keep Torah, the letters of Torah light up. Like the choshen, which is to light up, the letters would light up. Kohen Gadol's breastplate. When a Jew, God forbid, does an Aveira, he darkens the letters of Torah because he has a chelek in Torah, his neshama is connected to Torah, and he's extinguishing the Torah, so to speak. Ki kol echad miYisrael, yesh lo chelek ba'oraisa, every Jew has a chelek in Torah. V'kutshu b'richu v'oraisa, v'nishmas hon di Yisrael, kul echad. And like the Zohar says in Parshas Achrei Mos, right, the Parshas of Yom Kippur, like the Zohar says in Achrei Mos, Hashem and the Torah and the Jewish people are one. So when you reject Hashem, and you reject His Torah, right, so you're extinguishing the spark of your soul, and you're stamping out kiviyachol Hashem's presence in this world, God forbid, and you're darkening the Torah, the letters are no longer legible. And when I don't just give in to my bodily urges, when I don't stray after my heart, and the letters of Torah come to life. However, when we learn Torah, it might just look to us like plain black ink on plain paper, but the mamish, the letters are lit up when we learn them. When we keep our head in the Gemara and we work on a Tosfos, the letters are lighting up. The letters which are sitting in the dark when your Gemara is closed. You open up the Gemara and you allow the light of the Torah to emerge. So that's what it means. V'husha amar ashrei ish sheyishma l'mitzvosecha. Praiseworthy is the one who listens to your mitzvos. V'soraschah u'dvarcha yasim alibo. Why place it on your heart? Why not put it in your heart? So the Degel Machane Ephraim says, of course you want the Torah to go into your heart. But alibo means have a grasp of your heart. The Torah should be on your heart, meaning should have the upper hand over your heart. Hainu mima'al libo hu meisim haTorah. Place the Torah on top of your heart. Your heart should not be able to make an independent decision outside of Torah. It has to always look up to the Torah, which is al libo, on top of your heart. Asking the Torah, is this the right thing to do? Shal yidei haTorah hu mizgaber u'moshal al libo. Torah gives the person the strength to control his heart. V'yoser chashu be'einav or haTorah. And when a person lives this way, then Torah becomes the greatest pleasure in the world. And he's in control of himself. He feels good about himself because his heart is using his emotional drives in the right direction. And that's what it means when the Medrash says, Liba Masr Bialdam. That tzaddikim have what? Their heart in their hand. They're in control of their heart. So now let's come back to Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Tshua. And we conclude with this. V'yesh lomar. When the Pasuk says here, Ashrei Ha'am, who's Ha'am? Ashrei Ha'am. Ashrei Ha'am. Ha'am usually means, Ha'am is usually like a very plain word. Ha'am. Ha'am means the nation, the people. You know, Am Ha'aretz, the regular people. Ashrei Ha'am, Hainu Hamon Am. We talk about a Jew, there's no such thing as an average Jew. Every Jew is great. But the Hamon Am, the regular people. Yod-H, he says Yod-H. What was our question? Why not Toke Trua? Why not Toke Trua? What's Yode Trua? So he says Yode, this is the awesome Bikias of the Tzadikim. Yode sometimes also means breaking. Really? Yode means taking control of a situation and breaking down someone who's causing trouble. What is, where? Kamo v'yoda behem es anshe sukos. In Shoftim Parakhas, already in Parak Vav, it starts telling the story of Gidon. Right? Gidon, a.k.a. Yerubal. And Gidon is trying to defend the Jewish people, and again, the Plishtim are causing trouble, and he starts up with them, he takes control of them, and he conquers these two Midianite kings. And then there's these troublemakers in Penuel and Sukkos, and he takes these branches, these thorn branches, and he comes, and he's Yoda Behemis Anche Sukkos. Yod in this context means he beats up the Anshei Sukkos. He thrashes them. He breaks them down. He beats them up. Hainu, sheshovrim es libam hazona. So Ashrei Ha'am, Yodei Trua. Praiseworthy are those people who what? Who are Yodei, who break. What are they breaking? Sheshovrim es libam hazona, that they break their heart. Again, Trua could be a lashon of broken also, like we said before. Now he's saying a different Torah. He's saying, Yodei also means breaking. Praiseworthy are those who break down their emotions, who take control of their heart. And then Trua, he says, Trua's osios Torah ayin. What does that mean? The Torah which is nidreshes about ayin anpin, the Torah which is, we always talk about shivim panim la Torah, the 70 faces or facets of Torah. So praiseworthy are those people who what? Who use the Torah to take control of their lives. Hainu al yidei haTorah uvishvila mishaber eslibo umoshal love, that through Torah and because of Torah, they take control of their heart. Va'al yidei zeh Hashem b'or panecha yaleichun. Hainu b'haTorah kadosha shehu kiviyachol or panei melech kadosh. Then that Torah can be what? A guiding light. And the letters shine. Kamosha omrim b'or panecha nasata lanu Torah schayim. By the light of your face, Hashem, you gave us a Torah that's alive. Yahalechun. And then I can go weiter. Yahalechun, I can travel by that light. But also or. What light? The or of the Torah itself. Sha'or haTorah yachol lis noitzes b'nishmaso b'lishum masach umavdil. that I'm able to have the light of the Torah shine upon me without any type of impediment or blockage. Kevan shepeireish me'achoshech, since I separated myself from the darkness, hainu taivas libo shumachshich or haseicha v'anasham. So chever, the shofar also represents the blast of the shofar, right, which is meant to energize us. The shofar is supposed to be this loud sound to wake us up, to shake us up. The same when people work out, they like loud music. So they say the shofar is also, it's supposed to be. It charges me to go out to battle. What am I battling against? I'm battling against my raw, unrefined emotions, and I'm taking control of it. But how do I do that? Ashrei Ha'am, praise are the people who understand that the shofar is a vehicle to express the Dvar Hashem, which we can hear every day of our life when we learn Torah. And if I'm Yodei, if I break down my heart, I break down my emotions, and I'm Teruah, I'm connected to the 70 Panim of Torah, Shivim Panim of Torah, so then the light of Torah starts to shine, and the pleasure of Torah gets better and better and better. And that's my bracha for all of us as we enter into the new year, as we continue to learn Torah as a shir together. We should be zochet to mamish, to walk by the light of that Torah, to really feel it every day when you sit down in front of your Gemara, or you sit down in front of whatever sefer we're learning, to just be able to say, I feel the pleasure and the light of the Torah. I don't feel like I'm being held hostage by a Rebbe who's giving shir for too long. But I want one more piece of Dagon Achan Ephraim because I love the sweet words of Torah. Okay?